Well, I'm all preached out. This happens whenever I hear a brother preach the gospel. So many scriptures come to my mind. I just wish I was up here. And now that I'm up here, I can't remember a single one of them. I'll tell you. One thing I did think about while Brother Tillman was up here was the fact that he mentioned that there are a lot of things in the Bible that appear to be missing as far as the biographical sketch of our Lord and Savior is concerned. But you know, I've found of this late date, there's a lot of people that like to make up for that missing portion. And I don't like what's trying to be said about these things, because usually when men try to add to the Word of God about these matters, it usually comes out wrong. And takes one away from the truth. You know, one thing I found about the Bible, the truth is here. And if you believe the truth, it's not very difficult to accept this for what it is. But if you don't believe the truth, there's only one alternative, and that is to change it, to make it say what you think it says. And I see that happening so much today. People trying to change the Word of God to make it fit what they believe instead of accepting it for what it is. And my main contention is, if anything that I say is not consistent with what this Word says, then I want it brought to my attention right away. But if what I say is consistent with this, then a person should take it upon themselves to believe it and accept it. I was talking to my brother recently, a brother in Christ, not my natural brother, that a lot of people, when talking about the truth, disagree. And some of them get so mad at me because they can't refute what I'm saying. And I make a lot of enemies sometimes, not meaning to, but this happens. I like what brother said this morning about fearing and trembling. Says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, I believe that the minister of God gets up and he doesn't fear and tremble in his attempt to preach the Word of God, then he shouldn't be there. Because you've got to have the right attitude when you preach the gospel. There's so much, as Brother Tillman said, pride in the world today. I wanted to draw your attention to the 1 John, the letters of John, 1 John. You know, the Bible as we know it today is so precious. Thought about what Brother Tillman said in regard to the gold as being one of the gifts. You know, mankind holds gold uppermost in his mind as the most precious metal on earth. It's not the most expensive metal, but it's considered to be the most precious metal because of its purity. And the Bible says that there's even something more precious than gold. Did you know that? It says your faith. God considers your faith more precious than gold. Isn't that wonderful? The Word of God is so comforting. At least it is to me, because I feel to be such an unworthy sinner in this world. In fact, I know I am. John starts his little letter here, and it's one of three that he wrote in addition to one of the Gospels. John is a very consistent man. You can read this, the letters of John, and they'll conform totally with the Gospel of John and so many things that he says. He talks a lot about hearing and believing. He talks a lot about love. I think he was the love apostle because he loved the Lord so much that at one point he even laid his head on his breast because he loved him so much. That's the kind of love that I like to see in the Lord's children. Whenever they say they love the Lord, I think it should be a very sincere and serious love, a love that has an action to it, as the brother said, in reference to the word charity. You know, the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. Well, I believe that love without works is dead too. You've got to show somebody your love by doing something about it, having a little action in it. I think that's very important. But John starts talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he starts out his gospel, and that's how he starts out this letter. And he says, that which was from the beginning. And that, we know, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he starts out his gospel by saying that in the beginning was the Word. He says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's not talking about here the beginning of his ministry, I don't believe. I think he's talking about well back there, the very beginning of time, that Jesus was there with God. That which was from the beginning, many, many centuries ago, thousands of years, he says, which we have heard. He's talking about a physical thing here that he's heard him, but I believe he's also talking about a spiritual hearing as well. Because we all know that men have natural ears, they have natural hearing. We can preach the gospel to the natural man, and he may hear what we're saying, but he will not hear to the point where he understands what is being said and the significance of it, to the point that it will cause him to do something as a result of it. He absolutely cannot. He has not the ability. That's when the brother was talking about the wisdom of the world, that they tried to make some wise decisions. It's only in regard to their own self-interests is what they were trying to do, because of the realization they had in regard to the children of Israel. But he says, we've heard him, and we've seen him with our eyes. We actually looked upon him, and we've handled him. We've touched him. You know, this was a tremendous experience, I know, for John and for the apostles, because you have to realize that when Jesus came into the world, they believed in one God. The one God. That's all. One God. And yet Jesus says here that he is God. He is the Son of God, and yet he is God. And that's why the Jews got so mad at him one time, because they said he actually is telling us that he's God. He's claiming to be God. He's making himself equal with God. Well, if he's not, then he's not God. Because I believe that, as the Bible teaches us, that we have a God that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. We don't understand with our finite minds how such a thing can be, and yet it is true. And we know that the counsel of God, which means more than one, standeth true. He knoweth them that are his. He says the word of life, which we have seen, which we've looked upon, and which our hands have handled, the word of life. And this life, he said, was manifested for the first time since the very beginning of the world, from the foundation of the world. Light has come into the world. Truth. You know, the law was given by Moses, John says, in his first, the first chapter of John. He said, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ had not been manifested into the world, we would not be sitting here today, I believe. And this to me is marvelous, the fact that we can come together here as children of God have done on down through the centuries since Jesus came to this world. And we can worship him in truth and in spirit, and hopefully in a manner that is pleasing to him, because I wouldn't want to do it any other way myself. He said, this life was manifested. We've seen it. We've been able to understand with a spiritual eye. We bear witness to this. And this, to me, was the enthusiasm that the apostles had, is because they were actually in direct personal contact with the Son of God. Now, that, to me, is exciting. Now, as far as I'm concerned, we can have that same excitement today because we have a direct link and a direct contact. Some people call it the close encounter of the third kind, when you have direct contact. It's direct contact with the God of heaven, and we can realize and be fully assured that he is God. You know, I come in contact from time to time and talk to people about the fact that God can go because he's omnipotent, he's omnipotent and omniscient, and he's sovereign. In other words, he goes in his own power to accomplish his will in a manner that pleases him, according to his good pleasure. And I'm glad that that's true, because if God had left things in the hands of man, we would all have to realize it would probably be a big mess. right now. And as this brother said this morning, that Satan's trying to prevent God from accomplishing his will, and he's totally incompetent in that regard. And we can know that for sure because God is sovereign. He's going to do whatever he wants to do in a manner that's pleasing unto himself. This, to me, is the reason for everything. Because everything has been done by God to please himself. He says, it's not for your sakes that I do this. See, it's for my sake. Why? God had made a promise, as this brother told us this morning, and that promise was back there at the very beginning of time. And because he's God, and the Bible tells us that he cannot lie, he is going to keep that promise. And I believe that. There, I said on one point that there's three things that God can't do. He can't lie, and he can't sin, and he can't die. And yet we have the marvelous story of how Jesus Christ came to this world for one specific purpose, and that was to die. But the beautiful part about that is he didn't come here to stay in the grave. He came here to give his life and lay it down for us, but he had the power given to him by God to lift himself up again, to raise himself up again. And there's a little bit of a controversy sometimes about the cross, the significance of the cross, and the significance of that tomb. And I believe sincerely that our hope is not in the cross, even though that's where Jesus died and our sins were laid upon him there. That's marvelous. He became sin for us. But our hope is not there. It's in the tomb because he came out of there. And if he had not come out of there, then we'd still be in our sin. And that's the hope that we have. You know, Israel lost their hope for a little bit. When Jesus died and was laid in that tomb, they were in dire straits. They didn't know what to do. Because here was the man who was the Messiah, the Son of God, to come and accomplish the will of God and the salvation of his people. And they had great faith in him, and they put their trust in him. And yet, he's dead. Now, what a situation that was. Can you imagine in your own minds how you would feel if all of your faith and trust had been put in a man like that, and now he's dead? Because, see, they didn't understand. And that's the significance of the truth. And why a lot of people don't understand the truth is because there was very little truth in the earth until Jesus came and brought it. Secrets that had been hidden from the very foundation of the world were revealed through Jesus Christ. And a lot of these things they didn't even understand until he rose from the grave. And then ultimately they were taught lessons as they went along. One of the greatest lessons that Peter learned, as this brother brought out this morning, is that God gives eternal life according to his own sovereign will. And to keep these preachers humble, he taught Peter a great lesson whenever he sent him over to the house of Cornelius. He let Peter know right then and there that he's already given that man life before he ever got there, and taught him, I believe, the doctrine of sovereign grace. There's a lot of things that Peter learned, as well as the other apostles. And as they learned these, they became stronger in the faith. Paul said himself that he received what he got not from men, but from God by direct revelation. And I know I know I'm a sinner. I feel totally unworthy of anything that God has given me. And many of the people of God in the olden times said the very same thing. I'm totally unworthy of any blessing that you've given me. And that's exactly the way I feel. And yet I believe that God has revealed to me many of the secrets and truths of his word. And brother, that's one of the most humbling experiences of anyone that I know of. I know of many ministers that feel the same way. When the Lord opens up his word so you can understand it. Because there's a lot of things that I don't understand to this day. But when he does and it conforms with the truth, it is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. The scripture that Brother Tillman said a while ago, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the will of the, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. And the Lord opened that up to me. You know, John 3:16 was one of the hardest scriptures that I've had difficulty with for years. As before I began to preach. But one day I was riding down the road and the Lord opened up that to me, the most beautiful realization of what that meant. It's amazing. And I knew it was true because it conformed with the truth. It was, I think, at a time in my life when the Lord started preparing me for the ministry. I didn't know it at the time, just like this brother said. You know, the Lord does a lot of things for us. We don't know what's going on until years down the road, and we suddenly realize that it's the Lord that's done it. I started having experiences as far as getting involved in the ministry of the Lord showing me that this is what he wanted me to do, and I didn't believe it because I figured if he got me, he was scraping the bottom of the barrel. And I believe he did, but as I look back on it over the years, I see that I really didn't have any choice in the matter, that this is where the Lord wanted me, and I believe this is where I am because that's where he wanted me. I believe that you're here today because the Lord wants you to be here, and I don't think he predestinated you to be here, but he wants you to be here. I think it's pleasing in his sight for you to be here, and I hope and trust that each one of you have a feeling in your heart that it's good to be here, that you're glad and happy and you can rejoice in the wonderful truths that we believe and adhere to today. But I'll get back to here. He's talking about the life that was manifested. He said, we've seen it. We bear witness to that. We do that, I believe, in our lives. And he says, we show unto you that eternal life. That was his objective, is to show that eternal life which came from heaven, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which lives within us. He says, in the very last, I think the very last verse of that first letter, he says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, this is the true God and eternal life. If you don't know what eternal life it means that you have the ability to understand the truth of his word, that you have the ability to do that. Otherwise, you don't have it. And he said, this is eternal life. It's over in John 17:3. He says, and this is life, or eternal life, that they might know thee, the one and only true God. Otherwise, you would not be able to do that. He said, we want to show unto you this to you, the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. You know, Jesus, just because he's a part of that Godhead, is just as a person of choice, just like God is. God is a God of choice. He chooses as he sees fit. He told Moses, he said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And a verse of scripture that's found in John, he says, even as the Father raises the dead, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He's a person of choice. And he was manifested to them because it pleased him to do this, to pick 12 men out and bring them unto himself. You know, as I said, they believed in one God at that time, so this was a new concept. And this is one of the hardest things for the Jews today to overcome, is that God is three in one, is not just one, as they believe. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, and that's the purpose of a gospel minister. I believe the things that we have seen spiritually and heard of the Lord. You know, believe it or not, I've been fed tremendously here today. I've learned today, and that's one of the things that we can do under the sound of the gospel ministers, that we can be fed and we can learn the truth of his word. But you know, the Lord teaches me too. There's a lot of sessions that I have right up here in this little head, in the heart, that I have between me and God only. Because, you know, one thing we have to realize is that Satan has not only tried to thwart the plans of God, but he also tries to thwart our plans as well. He's there, ever present with us every day to try to keep us from doing the things that are pleasing to God, the things that we should do in this world.
That's right.
And that's why Paul said that he said he keeps under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that he, after he preached, he'd be a castaway. And we have to strive as children of God in this world to keep our bodies under subjection. It's not easy either, I'll tell you, because brother, the devil is tough. But he says we don't fight against, flesh and blood, but we fight against the principalities and powers of the air. And that's why we need to pray, not only for ourselves, but other children of God, because they face the same things in this world as we do. That's the power of love, one for another. But he says, as he goes on here, he says, "This was manifested to us, and that which we've seen and heard, we declare to you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." Now that is wonderful. Because our hearts can be in tune here together as one in the Lord. He says that they may be one. I think he's talking about the truth. I really do. I think he's talking about the church there. This is Jesus talking when he's praying to God about his apostles, that they may be one in truth. And he said, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. And that's where the fellowship should be in this world, because it'll take us away from the things of the world. It'll set our minds upon heavenly things. And that's what the gospel does. It saves us from earthly things to heavenly things. So he says that our joy may be full and we can rejoice. And like the brother said this morning, we have so much to be thankful for. And you know, we can't sit down and thank God for every single little blessing we've got, because there's many of them that we aren't even aware of. And even those that we are so many, it would take us an awful long time to do that. But I think that it wouldn't be harmful to anybody to sit down a couple of times each day for a couple of minutes and thank the Lord for all the things that he's given to them. Because without him, we'd have nothing. I believe that. And he says, not only does he bear witness to these things and declare them unto them, he says, and these things write we unto you. Mainly, as he says, that your joy may be full. That there should be nothing lacking. He said, this then is the message that we've heard from him. And you know, the Bible says in many respects, he says, this is what we're talking about. I think Jesus Christ said on one occasion, he says, in the 6th chapter of John, he says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he says, and this is the will of him that sent me. See, he's very plain. He's going to tell you right flat out. He's not going to beat around the bush or try to put one over on you. And John says, this is the message. This is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you. He says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no sin with God. There's no darkness. He's nothing but light. And he has chosen in his own wisdom and providence and sovereignty to send that light into the world, which is Jesus Christ, at a particular time in the history of the world to suit his own purposes, to accomplish his own will, because he saw fit to do it that way. And we rejoice today and can enjoy the benefits of the knowledge that has come to us through the light of the Lord, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You know, talking about love, I thought while Brother Tillman was speaking, how much the Lord must have loved his apostles. He loved them so dearly that he prayed to the Lord that he would keep them from the evil. He knew the weakness of the flesh. And he even told Peter one time, he said that the devil wants to sift him like wheat. But he said, I prayed for you. And the Lord knows the temptations and the heartaches that we go through. But he loves us. He loves us so much that he's up there interceding for us. You know, the Lord, believe it or not, delivered me from the weight of my sins one day in the pulpit. I was so burdened with sin, I felt so condemned before God, that I didn't even know whether I was going to preach or not. But like Brother Clevenger said, sometimes you get up here and you have an idea on your mind, but you won't even be able to use it. Something else will come to your mind. Well, that particular day, it just so happened that the Lord delivered me by sending me to a particular scripture in John where it says that he doesn't condemn us, but he's interceding. He says he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And I suddenly realized, well, it's the devil that's condemning me, trying to make me feel so low and burdened down to miss the blessing. And the Lord gave it to me right there. Thanks be to his name, how good he is. God is light. And you know, the thing about it is, he says that light is coming to the world, But men love darkness rather than light. That is their natural inclination, to love darkness instead of light. Why? Because it says their deeds are evil. Their deeds or works are evil. And they won't come to the light because they're going to be reproved. And that's the way the world is today. That's why we don't want to be a part of the world. This is one of the characteristics of a child of God. It says, love not the world, neither...